Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood! Start with a bang. This is your host, Nikki Carulla. Eddie Pence is doing a show tonight, so he is MIA. But we're just going to jump in. We got a singer-songwriter. He is awesome. He is awesome, awesome, awesome. We played a show together at the Key Club a long time ago. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while. You guys are in for a treat. Mr. Trevor Wesley. Say hello, Trevor. Studio audience loves you already,
man. I love those claps.
See, you can't notice them in this small room, but I know. Keep them hidden.
It's cool. Clap with no hands.
And then you can clap on command, see? Just like that. So, Trevor, we played at the Key Club maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah, it was a while ago, back when the Key Club existed.
Yeah, man. Let's just jump right into it, dude.
I'm jumping.
Where do you come from?
Coming from where I'm from. I'm from L.A., man, born and raised.
Born
L.A.
and
Orange County.
Here?
No, that's where
see,
I...
See, there,
right.
See, there's
I know,
the curveball.
I know.
The curveball.
But, yeah. No, I grew up in mostly L.A. and Orange County. I went to high school in Orange County, but my dad is a camera operator in the movie industry, and so
okay.
And I have family out here, so I was always out here. But it's true, I grew up... High school, you know, is where you're made.
Yeah.
And Orange County is definitely different than L.A.,
different vibe all
different together. Vibe but I'm thankful for
but
it
we'll forgive you
no, yeah there was nothing right. to do out there so right. I got to perfect my craft.
And how did you get into music? Like, what was the catalyst to make you want to become a musician?
Well, I always say I didn't get into music. Music is in me.
That's true.
That's my
true.
Response there. No, yeah, it's like a gift and a curse, which you know it's
yes.
like, you know, I am driven to keep going on my path, and I will never fail because I won't stop.
Right.
So I just love music, man.
When did it start? What was there a song? Was there a moment where you're like, because it does ignite something in you. There is a moment where you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Well, luckily, my
it.
Parents had a piano. It was out of tune piano, and I could walk over to the piano and play it, you know. And I remember my mom would vacuum the house, and it would be like, and I'd be like, and I'd be like, oh, dang. And so that's when I
cool.
realized I could, like, you know, like, had good ears or whatever. And I just remember, like, one of the first albums I ever, like, listened to and loved was, like, the Beach Boys Summer. I forgot what it was really called.
Hey, Pet Sounds, maybe?
No, it wasn't Pet Sounds.
Like
it was
earlier?
Like a, it was a collection album.
Okay,
it was
all
like,
right, all right.
It was all their hits and stuff.
Okay, cool.
But I remember laying on the floor and, like, just listening to those harmonies and everything. And then there was, like, Bach. It was a song. And I would always want to listen to it when I was a kid.
Did you play it? Did you learn it?
Yeah, that one part. But I didn't learn the whole song.
You're like, I'm just going to learn that one thing, and that's it. And did you take lessons or anything?
I took some lessons. I took some lessons with this guy named Robert Estrin, who was in Orange County. And I found him on Facebook again, like later. And it was cool to see he's still teaching and doing his thing.
You're like, you changed my life, man.
Well, the most I got from the lessons, really, is just understanding major and minor and getting the fingering and the scales, you know. And really, like, I've advanced more from just discovering harmony on my own and jamming with musicians and asking questions and stuff like that, you know. And I guess I can probably take it for granted what I got from the piano lessons, but I just feel
helps with
it gave
technique.
Me a good foundation to be able to, like, you know. But I also,
were, like, you learning classical music like everybody usually starts?
Not really. I always wanted to learn. I loved ragtime.
That's awesome.
And I started and I learned Maple Leaf Rag.
That's
and
awesome.
That was, like, the only song I learned.
See, I was doing,
as
like, Fury Lee's and all that.
Yeah,
I studied classical music, like, through college, but I only studied classical piano for maybe 5 or 6 years. I was burned out. I was like, This is too much. You know? And then the Beatles kind of got me into it.
Classic is cool because it gives you that like total. Like,
can't get better technique.
There's so many like because I've always gravitated towards jazz stuff and you know, like harmonies that are real close together and dissonant sounding stuff. And I got a buddy named Russlin, who is he's won a Grammy and he featured me on his album.
That's amazing.
I know. And Stanley Clark played on it, and Chick Corea, and who else was it? It's a bunch of cats.
You're like, some jazz guys that are legends.
Guys, you know, just some legends.
Just the biggest legends of our time.
And then from that, because Russlin put me on his album, Stanley Clark heard it, and like just 6 months ago or so, he called me up and said, "Hey, man," he said, "I'm working on my album, and I got this song that I'd love you to sing." And he's like, "And I got these two girls that I want. I'm trying to choose between to sing it with you as a duet." And I was like, "Well, actually, I know a girl who's here with me right now."
Nice.
And I was like, "And she's a really good singer." And I didn't tell him that it was my girlfriend because I didn't want to. You know, I was just she's a dope singer because she is.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Check it out." And I sent him a video, and he's like, "That's it." So we ended up going in the studio and writing and making this song.
That's crazy.
That's going to be on Stanley's next album.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
And then when we finished it, it was awesome because I wasn't used to going in. I'm used to holding my microphone, recording, making my shit. And I went in there, and there was two microphones. It was at the Village Recording Studio.
Yeah,
in,
I know where that is.
Yeah. Right, and there was two mics, Monica, so we were looking at each other in this big room. Like, just the professionalism, like everything. It wasn't just a bunch of blunts in the room, like making beats. Like, you know what I mean? This was like
a serious session.
Serious shit. Yeah. Like, it had like, you know, the sheet music, like everything. Like, the lyrics were printed out. Everything was like, boom. And then when we finished, he's like, "I got another song. Why don't you jump in and mess around?" And so we ended up like jumping on like two or three more songs.
That's crazy.
And he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna keep it on there." And it's just like, wow. It was just like an organic moment.
Such
that's like
a ridiculously awesome human being.
Exactly.
They don't make him like Stanley Clark anymore.
Oh, exactly.
It's the truth.
And I always just thank Russlin for putting me on his album and giving me that like platform of just that, like, I've always just envisioned myself being in that circle of like just greatness, you know, like the legendary shit that's just like, it's like John Mayer. You mentioned John Mayer earlier. It's like he's the type of guy that just, he's got the respect, he can just chill.
Right.
He doesn't need to be out there doing a bunch of shit, being a clown.
I mean, that's what's nice. It's like when you prove yourself, prove yourself first to yourself, and then you get to the point where you're like, "I don't need to prove myself to anybody else."
Yeah.
Because now I can just make what I want to make when I want to make it.
For sure.
And that's like the biggest thing that I'm learning. It's like, you see these great musicians. I watched three back-to-back documentaries, one on Michael Jackson, one on Prince, one on Marvin Gaye. And it was
that's
crazy.
A heavy,
which
heavy
is heavy.
Right there.
It was like, that's a heavy 3 hours right there. I was like, and what was crazy is like, they were at the mercy, even as at their ultimate success, they were all at the mercy of having to play when they didn't want to necessarily. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's, with musicians, it's like everybody's like, "Oh man, this life is so, it's so great." And it is great. But it's like, you also have to be at that place where it's like, when you're ready to commit to those places and things that you want to do musically, the greatest things happen when you are in it and you are there because you want to be instead of there because you have to
be. Yeah, because your energy lights up the room when you feel it and all that, for sure, definitely.
There's a different joy.
I've learned to just say no to things that it's not worth it.
Yep.
Because if it's sacrificing my energy, who I'm being is all I can control. And if it means that I'm going to be being annoyed or being fucked, then...
That's what you learn. You learn saying no is just as important as saying yes.
It's true.
And when you say no, more cool things come in your life. You're like, yes!
Yeah, there's room for what you want.
Yeah.
And your vision's clear.
Let me ask you this. Who are some of your biggest influences?
Biggest influences? Probably like Jim Carrey. I love Jim Carrey.
Me too. Like old school Living Color or like... recent Jim Carrey?
Because I love the old school Living Color, and I actually do. I hear what he says, like, and I get that people think it sounds nuts, but I get the depth, the deepness of that, of like what he's saying. Like when he said, what did he say? "I'm not famous, I'm a famous idea."
Right.
And it's like, that's so true,
so
because
true.
I can make faces like Jim Carrey, and you see Jim Carrey in that, because it's just the idea of him, it's the spirit of it. And
he's like way big into painting and doing all this other creative energy.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, I just listened to an interview with him on Stern, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't want to ever say I'm not going to do this or that, because I may just want to do this or that if it just strikes me at the right time and it's something that I really want to do. But I'm lucky enough to be at the point where I'm not doing things unless it's helping me grow spiritually or it's helping me grow.
He's on his path, like his soul path.
Yeah, and it's
for him. It's what he wants to do. He's like, it's my decision. You know, it's like it's his life and his creating his life. It's dope. And he's a dope musician. I didn't know that, really.
No,
yeah, dude, he has albums where he's singing, like, look at the mask, like he's singing Cuban Pete and shit. He did a I Am the Walrus cover. The Beatles song.
I never knew
and
that.
And he killed it. Like, he's being funny with his voice, but it's, like, acrobatic and, like, he's super talented. So I don't know why I thought of, usually I wouldn't say, but
no, but I love
overall,
that.
Like, I love that. I want to be an entertainer more than I want to just be one specific thing, and I just love that he's able to just embody whatever he wants to do. Like, you know, if he wants to paint, cool. If he wants to act, cool. If he's sing, it's like, you know, Adam Sandler, like, I respect people like that are just doing their thing. Like, he's got his whole company. People want to talk shit about his movies or whatever.
Right.
Nowadays, I will too, because it's like, but at the end of the day, he's like, I want to go on vacation right now. So I'm going to make a movie where I want to go.
Right.
And that's the goal. Like, I want to be able to live like that.
Well, it's funny. My girlfriend was telling me there was this quote from Robert De Niro. He was like, my wife, she owns this coffee shop. And if she didn't stop spending so much money, I wouldn't have to do these shitty movies. You know, it's like, it's also you're like at the mercy of like, I want to go on vacation, but I got to make sure that I pay all my bills. So I'm going to do
the intern. Yeah, so I'm going to go on vacation and write it off.
Right, right. But musically, who are you?
Musically, biggest? Let's talk music. No, I know.
No, I love that. I mean, those are things that I like knowing.
Yeah, and I said that because I love Stevie Wonder. Because
I could tell.
Because he writes his own stuff, he plays his own stuff, he sings his own stuff, and he's just talented, and he's just a light in the world. Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
And he's in his roots of being black and being African, and you know what I mean? The culture of it all is like, it's just so easy to embrace from him. You know what I mean?
I agree. I love 100%.
Stevie Wonder.
You know why he does his little head thing?
Because he's feeling it?
He's actually keeping time. When he's in the center, he's actually at the center of the beat. Now, next time you see him, because when he goes to the outsides, these outside orbits are a little bit, they don't look like he's in time. But if you look at, a drummer friend of mine told me, if you look in the middle of when he comes in, he's always at the center of the beat. It is crazy.
That's crazy.
Now whenever I see him play, I'm always just like, I'm like sitting there watching him, but I'm doing it just like
watching
him.
I got to try that, because I always tap my foot when I play, and I feel like I'm always louder. It's like my foot's out of time.
Yeah, he totally doesn't, like, he's conducting himself. It's amazing.
That's awesome. I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's
see? Cool. See? This is what this is about.
This is what it's about.
I know, man. I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan,
Stevie Wonder, for sure. I love Nat King Cole. And, you know, a lot of people don't know he's just a beast piano player.
Oh, man.
You know,
of course he is.
Yeah. Musicians know.
Yeah. He's one of the best. It's kind of crazy that nobody knows that. Because he was one of, like, the tastiest jazz pianists. It's almost like if he never chose to sing, I think the whole world would know he's a piano player. But because he like stepped into that
someone
role.
Someone told me that story that he was just the piano player in the band, and there was another singer, and
he couldn't do a
gig. And then they're like, you sing a little bit, get up there. And he didn't want to do it. And then they're like, well, you're not going to have the gig then. And then he did it, and then Nat King Cole.
And the crazy thing, too, it's like he sang like butter, but he smoked. He was like the chain of chain smokers. Like,
it probably contributed. I smoke all the time.
Really?
Yeah, every day. That's for the awesome. Last probably 15 years.
Okay, wow. You got to quit that shit.
I know, right?
It's all right. You're coping with the musician
back
lifestyle.
Back when it wasn't cool. Back when it was frowned upon.
So when did you start writing?
Though. I don't smoke
cigarettes.
No,
that's all right.
Yeah,
we don't frown upon that.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about cigarettes.
Only one of us was. So when did you start writing? When did you get the bug to write music?
Probably when my dad, I used to sing covers. Like, this was before it was popular, man. This was when E-Bomb's World was the shit. You remember E-Bomb's World?
Oh, that's early 2000s,
E-Bomb's
man.
World, man. Before YouTube, all that shit. I was singing, like, you know, cover songs and stuff, like downloading karaoke's and just practicing, because how I found out who I was I sang all the things I loved. And I wanted to sound just like them. And then once I was like, oh, cool. And then I found someone else, and I wanted to, you know, sound like them. And then all of a sudden I look up and I started sounding like me. But along the way, my dad was like, if you ever want to be successful anywhere, you got to write your own songs. He's like, nobody makes it with covers. And that was before everybody making it with covers.
Right. So. Damn it, Dad.
Damn it, Dad.
I could have been huge if you just let me copy somebody else.
No, I love writing for sure. And even when I'm playing, when I come with the approach of writing, it's because it's so easy to just be autopilot and play chords and shit. But right. I'm like, oh, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna play, but I'm writing. Then I play less,
right.
And I think about the melodies more and stuff.
It's also like a path. I'm sure you may think about it like this too. Like when I'm writing, when I learn a song, and I love learning songs because it's like, you see the path that they're walking.
Yeah.
You see the notes they're playing, the chords they're playing, the inversions they're playing. And sometimes, you know, there maybe one out of maybe seven chord arrangements, you're like, oh, that's cool. That's really hip how they do that.
Yeah.
And it could be something so simple. It's
so
right
simple.
Under your nose. And you're like, man, that's slamming.
Exactly.
And then when you start writing, you start realizing, all right, I just circled their paths in that, you know, in that park or that forest or whatever is in your
that
imagination.
Vehicle.
And then you're like, you learn how to walk, and then you kind of go into this uncharted place, and it becomes yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is like the most exciting part of writing.
Yeah.
That's better than recording for me. It's better than performing. It's just like, I'm going to go to this place. And I feel like you are definitely one of those writers.
For sure.
When I saw you perform, I was like, that's a bitchin' song. That's a bitchin' song. I like that arrangement.
I feel like I don't even write songs, man.
Yeah.
Because the best, when I try to write a song, and I really try, it sucks. But when I'm just like feeling it, like I'm like, what does this feel like? And I just start mumbling shit, and I start singing melodies, and all of a sudden, I'm like, what was that I did?
Like...
Exactly. And I was like,
was
wow, look, I just witnessed something happen, and I observed it.
Yes.
Basically.
It runs through you.
Yeah,
that's the idea. But then you have those moments where you're like, oh my God, it's going to be magical,
exactly.
Spiritual experience.
And in the back of my mind, I have this like 10% thinking that's happening. That's
right.
Like, okay, I'm courting and guiding these feelings that I'm not feeling. You know, like, it's weird, dude. You know, you write songs.
No, but that's what... I mean, I like interviewing other artists because it's like I love hearing about their process.
Yeah.
So it's like even just... I've never even told anybody how writing makes me feel like that. And you're just, you know, kind of... We're just talking music.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Why I like doing this. Because it's like you learn about somebody's process.
For sure.
And then you learn how they write and it makes you respond and how you create. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like creators, man. Let's get to a song of yours. What do you want to play first?
I don't know.
You got
maybe,
Chivalry's Dead in this world?
Yeah, play Chivalry is Dead.
And you said, let's tell that little stat that you told me earlier.
Yeah, this song,
streams.
Yeah, I put this song out, and this kid, Ian Eastwood, who's a choreographer, did a dance to it, and it was awesome because he had a pretty big fan base, and that really, like, exploded the song so it could, like, you know, have some legs.
Yeah.
And I got, like, over 60 million streams now on, like, Spotify and online, you know?
That's amazing.
Hell yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's called Chivalry is Dead. It's a song I wrote.
Here it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Girl, just let your hair down. Let's paint the whole town. Life is our playground, yeah. But I'm not a kid no more, so I must open doors and make you feel like the lady you are. My mama raised me to be classy, not flashy. I'm happy to please you, though I can tell that's not what you're used to. I feel like you deserve it. There's no pressure, we can do whatever makes you comfortable. Yeah, I could float your boat, it's cold, take my coat. I'll sing a music note from the song that I just wrote. Girl, just take my hand and let me be a man. Though that's not what you're used to. And they say chivalry is dead. Girl, let a real man pick up the slack and treat you with respect. Yeah, and you don't have to love me, love me, love me. You don't have to love me, love me, love me. Just cause I'm a gentleman don't mean I ain't taking you to bed, babe. That's just how you treat a lady, 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 treat a lady.
And the crowd goes mild.
Yeah, but it didn't go mild. It went wild, man. Come on.
Yeah.
So I like the concepts. First of all, I love titles. Titles they're important to me, especially as a songwriter. When somebody phones in a title, I'm like, man, you could have called this 10 other names. It would have been cooler. But Chivalry is Dead, that's a good title. Tell me, what was the inspiration behind that?
The inspiration was that it was a saying. I always knew that people said chivalry is dead. Or they say chivalry is dead, and I would see it. And I was like, well, I've never heard a song with chivalry is dead. And I made the song, put it out, and now when you type in chivalry is dead, my shit pops up.
You're like, that's
I claimed it.
That's, I like that.
I claimed it.
Yeah.
And then there's another song in this world that I don't want to give it away, but there's something, you know, it's like, I just feel like that's a good little way to, you know, like see what people, what's already being said that's like there's no songs for.
Right. I'm going to ask you what sounds like a dumb question, but it's actually a pretty simple and kind of profound question, too.
Simple as everything.
Do you ever write just with the title in mind first, or do you always just come up with the title at the end of it?
It's always different, but I try to come up with the title first.
I like that.
Because that way I have the vision of what a song is, and I know how to beat around the bush, you know, because I feel like verses and everything kind of like to tell that story.
What do I want to say?
Because, yeah, sometimes I start mumbling and I'll start saying things that give me ideas for melodies and stuff, but then that will lead me to go, okay, what does this feel like? And then I'll be like, boom, sounds like this name or whatever.
I like it. I could tell with that title you wrote that first.
I knew that I was going to write Chivalry is Dead.
I feel it, man. You're like, I know this song's going to be about
this. But as soon as I declared it, the song wrote itself.
Those are the best moments.
Exactly. That's why those the vision the is everything.
I love when songs just come out like that. You're exactly. Like, oh, that was like nothing.
And then the song I bust my ass off and I'm all invested in is the one that everyone's like, oh, that's cool.
You're like, but it took me 4 years of my life.
Exactly.
You ever had a song where it literally took years to write?
Of course. I have songs that aren't done that are still being worked on and are years old.
And you know what? I hate that feeling when you go back and you tinker with them. You're like, all right. Today's the day. I know I can just write this. I can write this from the beginning right now. And today's the day. And then it comes and you're like, today's not the day. Today is not the day. But tomorrow.
Well, that's why I like to keep those in my back pocket for when I meet somebody that might be inspired by something. Like my buddy Abe I was telling you about. Like, I have a song that I wrote a while ago, and I played it for him on the piano because I was like, dude, I don't want to play you the record I made because then I'll just box you into to the production and everything of that. Like, let me just play the song,
right,
and key piano vocal, you know, and we ended up writing a new hook and everything, and I was like, dude, this is a different song, but it's the same. Like, we took the best parts of that I had already, you know, but yeah, I couldn't write it. I'm not going to rewrite it myself. I have no inspiration left in
right.
it. But someone else will add
interpret
something to it,
it
and then right. I'm inspired again to work on it.
You're like, that's a great song. Can I have it back?
Shit.
Throw it back.
Give me it back.
You're like, I just passed it to
me,
pass
coach.
It back.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Let me ask you an honest question because this is something I think about all the time. This is a loaded question.
So your other questions weren't honest.
No, they weren't no, as honest. What do you really think of pop music today? Oh, I can see the rage in his cheeks.
No, well, what is pop music? Popular music?
Yeah.
I mean, I think different about all. There's so many different kinds of pop music. You know, these days, pop music isn't just Katy Perry, Teenage Dream. It's like it's Kendrick Lamar. It's a bunch of things. Bruno Mars. Like, there's a lot of stuff I love. But it's like I'm.
What do you love? Pop music today. What do you love?
I do like Bruno Mars.
He's
killing it, you know. And people talk shit, and sure, but I think he's dope because he's doing something different. And he's doing what he wants.
So I played a festival, and we opened up for Ray LaMontagne. Okay, check this out. This is how I got introduced to Bruno Mars. I thought Bruno Mars was cool. Yeah, he's cool, right? So Bruno Mars is playing one stage over. We're opening for Ray LaMontagne. Every time we stopped playing a song, I could hear 6 seconds of his band. And it blew my mind to the point where I was like talking to the audience and then I'd turn around to the band and like, you know, they could only hear me and I'd be like, who the fuck is that? Who the fuck is playing next? And then one of the stage managers was like, that's Bruno Mars. And I was like, all right, I'm going to see Bruno Mars when I go home. And it was the first thing I did, drove to Vegas to go see him because he wasn't playing anywhere in LA. And it was mind blowing. It was like a mini Prince. He came out, he was dancing like James Brown, playing guitar solos like Prince. He was doing these crazy arrangements with the band. He was dancing with his musicians. I mean, it was,
yeah.
It's a show.
Entertainment.
But
yeah.
It's also like seasoned performances.
Yeah.
He's moonwalking. He's singing his ass off. He's writing his own tunes. I mean, it's the real deal.
Yeah, and that's what I like. You can hear the difference when you can tell when it was crafted from the ground up with their team or with their producers and whatever, you know, when it's handmade and when it's made by producers and, you know.
Well, the reason I ask, it's like I grew up with Michael Jackson and Prince as my pop stars. And now it's like Bruno Mars is not like as big as some other pop stars as far as impact. He's big, but he's not Michael Jackson, Prince, big in the 80s like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of pop stars are getting this notoriety when they don't necessarily have the goods like a Bruno. Like, Bruno Mars has got the goods. I see him and I'm like, damn.
But, and the same, it's so funny because there's mixed things about it because the guys that, like, the OG guys like Michael Jackson and even the guys that did all the original funk stuff, like, you know, like, Bruno Mars isn't really that all that original.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But he is in a sense of pairing things that are original.
Right, he's part of that legacy.
So he's really contributing to all of their legacies as well. And I just feel like, yeah, like people that really define a new thing that's really new. It's like, I was just talking to my roommate today. I was like, well, is new even possible anymore?
Yes, hell yeah,
it is possible,
it
right?
Totally
dubstep
is.
Was new,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be something new, but what's really new? You know, like. Everything, it's like numbers. I love numbers, and I've always been interested in like the number zero and how you don't acknowledge it until you hit 10 and 20,
funny.
Right? But you
right.
don't say 0, 1, but 11 is 1 and 12 is 2. But you only can go to 9 and then repeat the cycle. So it's like I feel like there's like 9 types of people in the world
right.
that make infinity of new, but it really still only stems from 0 through 9.
I like that.
So it's like, you know,
you play with numbers. I do that too. So like, but I do it differently.
Music makes it
3. I love the number 3. I'll sit there and I'll just find every like
I do that
number
too.
That
it's like safe. It feels safe.
That's
it feels
crazy.
Good.
That's crazy.
Why do you like 3?
I don't know why. It's like there's something about it being, you know, when I think of three, it's like a triangle. It's like balanced. It makes sense. It's not four where it's like four is ordinary. Three is like I can stand on my own, but I don't need as much.
And I was telling her, like, because a tripod has three legs, right?
Yeah.
Four legged tripods don't exist because they'll fall over. It's actually sturdier that there's three a foundation. Yeah. And when I was talking about building a team and working with Abe and Cadis, these other producers. You got to have a tripod to stand up. So it's like, yeah, we can probably get by and make some dope shit with the both of us, but it's probably smart if we get a third person in here so we can be a tripod.
Yep. I like that. How long we've gone without knowing that you've been thinking about numbers and I've been thinking about numbers and not telling a soul.
And I can trust numbers.
Yes.
I trust them.
Dude, that's honestly, those are the only things that I do trust sometimes.
It's true.
I trust some people, but I trust numbers.
Yeah,
It's like if I want to know what's in my bank account, those numbers aren't lying.
Right.
If I want to know when I'm supposed to make it a gig, those numbers aren't lying. If somebody's really popular, numbers can lie on YouTube numbers,
but exactly.
It ain't going to lie in what they're getting paid from those YouTube numbers.
Yeah,
you know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
So, yeah, there's something about that. Let me ask you this, too. When you're writing songs, are you thinking politically? Are you thinking about love? Are you thinking about you as an artist and what you want to say, what you want to leave behind? Are you completely present? Are you in the moment? Are you thinking, I want to write as close to whatever my heart is feeling or whatever my mind is thinking right in this moment?
Yeah, it's different.
See, I told you the questions are good, man. That's a good question.
I
stumped him.
Yeah, my mind just went blank, man.
No, bullshit. No artist's mind goes
blank. Say the question, though, again.
So, like, when you write, are you thinking, I want to write past what my lifetime will achieve as far as what I want to say? Is it going to be something that's going to be timeless? Is it going to be something that's going to live past myself? Or are you thinking in the moment, like, my heart is broken, I need to write this for my
own written in a fantasy place. A lot of people always write from their experiences. But when I write from a fantasy place, I'm experiencing those experiences because I'm really authentically going through it, thinking about it in my mind. Like, you know, it's like, if I write about, like, I have a song called Darndest Things, and it's, because love makes you do the darndest things, and it's about going to different places in the world, but I haven't been to those places, but I'm writing, you know, it's like, I went to those places because I researched about them,
right.
And I didn't, you know.
Well, it's like your imagination.
Yeah, my imagination,
so
and I love and I've written songs about heartbreak before I had a heartbreak, and when I had a heartbreak, I felt that. I was like, damn, I knew what I was saying.
Because like, I was good before I knew I was good.
Like, I don't know. It's just weird.
No, I know.
You know? But I do want to tap into more about writing. Like I've always written, like, love songs and stuff, and I'm just getting tired of it. Like, I want to have love, of course, be, like, a vehicle in my music. But I love that the Beatles and great artists write about stuff.
Yeah.
They write about things. You know, I wouldn't say political, but anything could be political because it's like just something that's happening in the world that's like that impacts the world. And I think we all kind of want to change the world. Like, I always think of Bob Marley. Like, the world would not be the same if he wasn't around.
Yeah.
Because, like, imagine, like, if we never had any of his music, like, just would not be the same.
Dude, I feel like he was a prophet. I feel like he came down. All he did was, like, his music. And it literally is something that we're still learning. We're still learning from that message that just keeps relearning and relearning.
It's timeless,
relearning.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Timeless.
And that's the goal,
and that's
right?
Why I do love, like, love.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be a romantic love.
Yep.
It can.
Totally.
I think it's just the spirit of it. You know, like I really want to. I get it. Like, you got to be edgy. You got to be all these things. Like, but at the same time, like, when you're an influence, it's like you're either, like, influencing the young generations to make the world better, or you're not.
Right.
And I don't want to be the guy that's not. You know what I mean? Like. It's like, I don't know how to say it. It's like, you know, you walk down Highland and you see the guy holding the big Jesus poster and he's like, Jesus, save yourself now. And everyone's just walking by him. They're like, I don't care. But if you got to be smarter than just saying, it's like, you got to be them. You got to be who, you know, like, I got to play the game so that way people can hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
Because if I just have to say what I have to say, no one's going to hear what I have to say. But if I can, like, you know, like, hey, come over here, check this out, I'm doing what you guys are doing, check it out. And then once I got them, and then I go boom, and I say what I have to say,
it's harder.
Then they listen.
Yeah.
But I
and you call
yeah
you call them disciples.
But it's hard. It's like cracking that code of like getting people being an influence, but not being a preacher or being somebody like you should do this. Or it's like just coming into that. That's why the concepts and stuff. It's like being an inspiration, finding out how to like make a song that's
well. It's
make
funny.
Go, shit, I should have thought of that.
I've been watching and reading your Facebook posts for a while since our shows. You know, like you just see people's news feeds and like.
I know,
you
I gotta get off of that.
No,
shit.
No, but
I'm
you
too
know what?
Ranty
no,
and personal.
No,
and
but you know what? It's good. And it's funny because it's like, I'm 39, so I'm a couple years older than you, maybe a lot of years older than you. So it's like, I see you going through these same stages that I went through as an artist that's trying to be somebody that mm-hmm. is somebody that lasts and is. And like, when I saw you perform, I'm like, that's a real artist. That is the real deal. And it's funny when you are not censoring yourself. And like you just let it out. If it's a rant, it's a rant. That's cool. I'm like, yeah. Now he's being completely real. Now he's being completely honest with what the path is yeah. of being an artist. Because it ain't all just beautiful.
Nah.
And it's like if it was all beautiful, you wouldn't be the artist that mm-hmm. you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like when you're singing on stage. It's like you know that person's real. You can tell when you go to a show and you see somebody.
Well, I'm glad
you can
that
tell
that's
when somebody's real.
Got.
That's why I kept pestering you to be a guest on this show. But I'm like, you need
yeah.
to come on because I mean, people
for
need
sure.
to, people need to know who you are. People need to know what you do, and we're gonna play the second song to let them know exactly what you do. What do you want to play second?
Play In This World.
All right, here it is. Hold on. Here's In This World, Trevor Wesley.
Wanna shout, so let me in your world. Pretty miss, there's an innocence I can't resist, can't dismiss. So I wrote you a song and it goes like this. If you'd like to take them off, girl, then by all means. You're like my favorite cake. I love the way you taste. Never let you go to waste. I'll even make the plane. I have never been beautiful, won't you just let me in?
this world.
Yeah.
Thank
That's
you.
A great track. Who's rapping on that?
That's a girl named Raven Felix.
That's so Raven.
And it is.
Huh? You so see that? Raven. I'm here all day, man.
Oh, man. Where's the claps at?
It's not. Oh. Better yet, how about this? How about this? Hold on. Where was that? Right?
So I was driving down the 405.
Sorry, that was me.
Hey, don't ever touch my stomach. I'm just kidding.
Never touch a man's iPad.
You can touch it all you want, man. It's all good. Only the soundboard, though, okay? Yeah. Nothing else.
That's it. No other apps.
All right, so you said Raven. What was her last name?
Raven Felix.
Hmm.
I think she's with Wiz Khalifa's camp.
It's awesome. She sounds great. Yeah, what made you choose her to rap on your track?
Well, it was kind of a political move. I didn't choose.
Okay. She chose?
It was like the managers.
It's throwing another.
I honestly didn't want to have her on there.
Oh, wow.
I didn't. Because I didn't have anybody on my album, and I worked hard on it, and I was actually talked into getting her on there, and I don't have any hard feelings. You know, like, it's all good. I don't want to talk shit or anything, right. But
she's listening right now. She's like that mother.
I don't care.
No. It's funny that like sometimes you can put faith in a manager that.
I didn't want to do that.
But then why'd you do it?
Exactly.
Because they made you do
it. Because I didn't trust my gut.
That's what I'm saying. This is what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You put your faith in a manager in that moment. Like, they must know better.
Exactly. I think for sure. That's, yeah.
But
exactly.
It was cool. I will say this. It was cool.
And I don't regret it.
I didn't regret it. Yeah, right.
But, yeah. But I did what I did. I didn't do what I didn't do.
Right.
What happened, happened. And what didn't happen, didn't happen. And that's it.
Dude, we're blowing shit up. Yeah. So you're doing another record right now.
I am.
Should we ask a couple questions about that? Is it hush hush? Is it like everything's in a vault and mum's the word and you can't say?
I mean,
you can dance around
it.
You can dance. You can dance.
I'll dance around it. I'll do a little Bruno Mars dance.
All right.
No. I've always tried to figure out a way to, explain the type of music I do. And you know, it's like, for a long time, I'd be like, you know, what if Frank Sinatra and Kanye West popped out of Love Child? You know,
like, I like that. It's good.
And then some guy one day is like, Trap King Cole. And I was like, all right. That sums it up. Trap King Cole.
Yeah.
So now I've just been really visualizing, wrapping my head around Trap King Cole and the character that is.
Yeah.
And I feel like removing my personal, you know, I'm always going to be personal in it, but it's kind of more fun to think, okay, I want to create this Trap King Cole and have fun with it and do it. And that's a project, a Trap King Cole project. I'm Trevor Wesley, but I'm making Trap King Cole. And then my girl Skylar over here, she's really talented and we sing together. And I was thinking of doing a little project with her afterwards and call that Lady in the Trap.
Oh, I like that. Boom! You don't have to ask me, I'll do it again. Just cuz. I like that. See, there's vision. I like that. This is what artists lack today.
You know?
See? You got six records you're going to do right now.
Yeah, we do. We got records.
You're like, and after that, there'll be the trilogy of...
But once I can define that this character and who he is and what who I am in that character... then all the song concepts will be way easier to think of, you know?
Yeah.
Because if I'm just singing songs, it's like, through what filter am I? I have to... Because if I write, go like, I'm going to write a Rihanna song, then I have like a direction of like what kind of song I'm writing.
Right.
So it's like once I discover who Trap King Cole is and really get that, then I have the lane and direction to know what it's not, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know what? An artist like you, it's good to write for other people like that, but... You really should just always be writing without that barometer.
Oh, no. Like just absolutely. Just make a banger.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's like what we need.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
Yeah.
There's a lacking of that in the industry right now. And it's like people aren't afraid to support good content.
Yeah.
You know, people listen to the show because they know that I love artists. I live to be like inspired by an artist, and you're one of those artists for me.
Wow,
like, seriously,
man.
I'm like, this cat's a cat,
and this guy's hanging out with Paul McCartney. Jeez,
yeah. Nah, man. I mean, right now I'm hanging out with you, man.
I don't believe it.
I like that little line where Michael's like, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, oh, it's too
that's
good.
One of the best songs, dude. I love
it's
that.
One
song.
Of the best songs. One of the best songs. And then Michael stole his catalog, right?
Oh shit.
Well, I'm gonna play a song. This is the song that I heard you play when I came into the Key Club, and I was like, holy shit, this cat is a serious mamma jamma.
That's this, what's up.
This, and you know why I went through your whole catalog?
The Regiment, like, actually played on this.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
That's not why I love the song, but I do love the Regiment. But I went through your whole catalog. I'm like, that's not the song. That's not the song. And I was like, that's the song. Out on the Town. And then it all came back. Because when I saw you at the Key Club, I was like, I went home that night. That's what happens to me. When I hear something good,
that's
I go
up.
And I go and like appreciate Google and become a keyboard gangster, and I'm like, where's that song? I'm gonna search this all night if it takes me and find it, and I did, and then here I am 4 or 5 years later, and I'm like, yeah. What was that song again? Here it yeah. is. So Out on the Town by Trevor Wesley.
With her, I think that I'ma
Dude, Trevor Wesley. Ha! We're going to have to wrap up in a little bit, but let me ask you this. Where can people find you? Because they need to know Trevor Wesley.
Just, that's all they need to know, bro. TrevorWesley.com.
You got a website.
You got
Trevor. Spell it out because people are dumb.
T-R-E-V, as in Victor, O-R, Wesley, like Wesley Snipes.
Well, people don't know how to spell Wesley Snipes.
W-E-S-L-E-Y.
You know, there were some millennials who were like, who the fuck is Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, that's true. Who's Paul McCartney? Kanye just signed it.
I love those posts. Those are great. Yeah. And that's your website?
That's
your...
my website. That's my Instagram, my Twitter, Facebook. My Facebook is Trevor Wesley Music.
Okay, see?
I want to get... it's weird because they got the personal page and all this right. shit that's like just... It's complicated and weird.
You have the non-ranty post and the ranty post.
I'm going to eliminate everything.
No, dude. Don't. Don't. Be real.
You're the first person dude. That has ever told me that.
Don't.
Everyone's like, dude, you got to stop.
No, no. You know what? You got to be. You got to not give a shit.
It's true.
I'm at that point. I'm 39 now. I'm like, you don't like it? I'm at the point where it's like fans will start screaming for songs at festivals and I won't have it on the set list. And I'm like, it's not on the set list, man. Sorry. And they'll wait a whole year, come to the show the next year, and they'll scream it again.
That's
right?
Hilarious.
And I'll be like, it's not on the set list again.
Oh, man.
Third year, they won't say anything. I'll be like, you know, a lot of people screamed for this song the last 2 years, so I decided to put it on the set list. And people were like, I was there. I was like,
that's awesome.
Coming back. It's like, I'm at that point. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to be your jukebox.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play what I want to play.
Well, that's true.
How you like me
absolutely.
How you like me
no,
now.
I feel
that's
that.
That's the way it should be, right?
No, for sure.
All right, Trevor Wesley Music for Facebook.
Yeah.
TrevorWesley.com mm-hmm. for just website.
Yeah.
Love.
Yep.
Yeah. And what do you have next? You got a record that you're working on.
Working
Are you
on
playing any shows anywhere in any parts of the country?
I'm really not. I'm not doing shows
like
really.
That. Make them wait.
Yeah, like I'm just locked in. Smoking weed and making music right now.
Love it.
And visualizing and having team meetings and getting the plan and everything, because you gotta, like, you can't go to war with one bullet. You gotta go with ammo.
Yes. Or you just have one silver bullet for that Wolverine.
Yeah, for that 007 golden shot.
Yes.
That golden gun.
See? Oh, man. you just threw up my college life
exactly.
right there. One phrase,
exactly.
man.
Exactly.
I like it. Well, Trevor, it was a pleasure having you.
Great
next
interview.
Next time you're going to play.
This was fun. I appreciate it.
Next time we'll make sure there's a keyboard or
and
a guitar.
For sure.
And we'll play some music. Deal?
Deal.
I'm going to have you shake on it.
All right.
Oh, shit. We're shaking on it.
Shaking.
I was like, man, I hope this guy shows
shake
up. He doesn't
bake.
Know me that well, but he made it.
No, it's all good, dude.
I was happy you were here.
Yeah. I knew that I knew you, though.
No, you know
I
what?
I knew that I knew you.
You're one of the real deal artists that I've
appreciate
seen.
Appreciate it.
And I not only want to champion you, but I want to see big things ahead
well,
for you.
Thank
and I know
you,
they
man.
Are coming.
I appreciate
so.
It. And I look forward to building and staying, keeping you in the loop of what I'm doing.
And on a high five, man.
High five,
see?
Shit. On a high.
On behalf of Eddie, he's not here. We'll see Eddie next week. But my name's Nicky Carulla. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you so very much. Hold on. Here it comes.